So those of you watching me online, I am not sick. I know that I look sick, I sound sick, but I am not sick. I'm taking this medication for nasal spray, so right now it's going through a healing process, my sinus. So put up with me for today. Let's look at Revelation chapter 2, and then we'll read verse 8, please. So we're covering in our last Revelation study concerning about the seven churches. The seven churches. Let me know if I'm out of bounds. So then the first one right here is Ephesus. And during this timeline, we covered it during the timeline of the Apostolic Fathers. The Apostolic Fathers. So this was during the timeline of the people who are fresh from the apostles. The next one right here is Smyrna. Smyrna. Smyrna would be a timeline where we can put it at the Ante-Nicene Fathers. So we've now reached this point. Timeline in church history. The Ante-Nicene Fathers. So you will quite hear Catholic apologists, when they talk about church fathers, they'll be referring to the post-Nicene or the Ante-Nicene Fathers. So remember, church fathers are referring to the timeline of the early Christian. That's where the church fathers come from. They're a timeline from the early Christians. Like I told you that church fathers, because these were the leaders during the earliest time of the Christians, it doesn't mean that these were bad people. However, the thing is this, is that good Christians, once that they stray away and they apostatize, they can grow more and more into wrong doctrine. So like I told you, a great example can be this church. If this church starts to slip up here and there within what, less than 10 years, just a couple things, if you give it like about 1,000 years, you're already full-blown apostasy. See, so we don't really bash them, because we got to realize this, is that during this timeline is that they were being persecuted by pagan Rome. They were not like us in like being serious about, okay, so we got to make sure we got to fix all of our theology straight in churches. That wasn't that timeline. During this timeline, it was a time when they were trying to spread Christianity against pagan Rome. And then Smyrna was suffering intense persecution. This was a time of persecution during the time of Smyrna. So these weren't people who are making YouTube videos, drawing pictures, saying, "We believe in a doctrine called dispensationalism." No, they weren't busy doing that. They were busy trying to run for the hills, maintain their spiritual walk, trying to get people saved while under persecution. During our timeline, obviously, this is an age of Laodicea, an age of modernism. This is where we have to combat and defeat people concerning education and knowledge and right doctrine. That's this day and age that we're doing it, because it's a day of tolerance of all sorts of belief. That's what's pervasive in Laodicea. So that's why we're standing up for right doctrine strongly. That's why compared to the timeline of the Protestant Reformation and the Great Awakening revivals, what's got to be understandable to you is that we can't really be hard on these Christians.
Yeah.
When I taught my lesson, History of Bible Believers, I've showed you that, you know, these were people, our ancestors that the Lord used. But we got to realize this, they were not all in right doctrine like we are. Why? Because we had the privilege and opportunity of studying Bible-believing truth with the people who laid the foundation 2,000 years before us. Not only that, we have full freedom to do so. Not only that, you live in America, you got time. Not only that, you got a stupid tech thing and you got time. See? Oh, this phone is on. It should be off. So the thing is this, is that we live in a day and age where you are not without excuse. A lot of you found Bible-believing truth how? Right?
That's right.
Yeah, a lot of you who came to our church. See? So you got to realize this, these people didn't have that, let alone a full, complete Bible that they can hold in their hands. Everyone had manuscripts all scattering around. See? So they didn't have the opportunity to grow knowledge of the truth. So you got to understand that, all right? So we're not really hard on these people. But what we're hard on these particular people is that because they start to apostatize more and more and more, that it contributed to the Catholic Church later on in life. And then during the time of the Dark Ages, that was just full-blown apostasy. So then the Lord, what he had to do now was focus. He was trying to get them to focus to break from the Catholic Church system. So during that time, they may not be right in doctrine completely, but during that time, their focus was to break off from the Catholic Church system. And then now today, we're standing for right doctrine. Over here, however, their timeline was not resisting the Catholic Church because there was no such thing at that time. It was pagan Rome. During that time, the focus was resisting persecution, enduring for the Lord, and trying to convert these pagans to Christianity, to get them saved. So let's look at right here. And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, so John is writing to this angel of the church in Smyrna. Remember, I explained to you that this is not speaking to the church in Smyrna, but rather the angel of the church in Smyrna, because the angel is supposed to be a representation of them. So I'm not going to explain that again. What is John writing to this angel of the church in Smyrna? These things saith the first and the last. Okay, remember, the first and the last is referring to Jesus Christ, right? We read that in Revelation 1. What kind of things is he going to say? Which was dead and is alive. Ah, that verse is proof again that this is referring to Jesus is Jehovah God. You might say, why? Because ask them this, who is the first and the last? They'll say Jehovah. And then you tell them, when did Jehovah ever die and become alive again? See, Jehovah God, when did he ever do that if that's not Jesus Christ? So that's how you can show a Jehovah Witness that Jehovah has to be Jesus Christ here. All right, what does he say? I know thy works and tribulation and poverty. So notice right here, the church in Smyrna, they're working as hard as the church of Ephesus. Now remember, the church of Ephesus, during the time of the apostles and apostolic fathers, they were busy planting churches, ministries, converting them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what they were doing. But then during the time of the church of Smyrna, their works is similar with Ephesus. But then what's the difference here? They're suffering tribulation. So they're suffering intense tribulation persecution. So notice right here that tribulation means persecution. An amateur mistake that some people do is that, so notice right here, it says that the church is going through the tribulation, so this is proof that the church will go through the tribulation. But that is a very unintellectual and, to be quite honest, nonsensical comment. You got to realize this, the word tribulation, what it simply means is hardship or persecution. So here's an example, look at Romans 5. Now keep your hand here, Revelation 2, and then we're going to go to Romans 5. Romans 5. Tribulation means persecution and hardship. So there's a group out there who believe in the doctrine. They are called post-tribulation. What does post-tribulation mean? Basically, Jesus will have to come down after the tribulation. There are people within this post-tribulation mindset who might believe in a rapture. Greater majority of post-tribulation churches do not believe in this rapture. They believe the church will go through the tribulation, and then somehow, some way, because the church is doing a really good job, then Jesus and conquered the Antichrist and all that, that Jesus Christ will think, wow, you guys did a good job, so I'll come down and then set up my kingdom on the earth. No, Jesus Christ, he has to reign as king and take care of the problem and take away his children out of there and etc. So the rapture, people who believe in a post-tribulation rapture are actually very few in number. Yeah. So they mostly believe the church will go through the tribulation, there is no rapture. Other people, they will believe there is a rapture after the tribulation. Nevertheless, what these two people believe is post-tribulation. The church will go through the tribulation. And who teaches that? You'd be surprised, the Catholic Church. Who teaches that? The majority of cults and religions today. See? So notice right here that a common denominator of doctrine, one world right here, of different religions who would share your point of view, yeah, would not be dispensational, pre-tribulation-minded Bible believers. Amen. That's what we are. We're pre-tribulation. We're dispensational. Now, I'm not going to explain this all over again. You already know what this means. So what we believe is the church will be raptured before the tribulation. Jesus will come down and rapture us before the tribulation. And then that's differentiated from his coming, his second advent. In his second advent, he's going to come down and then take over the world, conquer the Antichrist kingdom. The church can't bring the kingdom. Jesus Christ has to bring in the kingdom. The church is going to get out of there. Okay, so we believe pre-tribulation, before. Now, let's see this passage here, Romans chapter 5. Notice that tribulation does not have to mean some kind of end time 666 Antichrist. Verse 3, and not only so, but we glory in what? Tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. So notice right here that we're rejoicing in our tribulation. Why? Because this is referring to, notice, see, endurance, patience, hardship. So tribulation simply means persecution, hardship. It does not mean some 666 Antichrist system. But the convincing proof is Matthew 24. Matthew 24. You cannot make this tribulation, which Christians are going through, you cannot make this tribulation the same tribulation as the Antichrist. So let's put the Antichrist tribulation all the way over here. So 666, here's the Antichrist right here. So the Antichrist with the 666 system right here, this is going to be referred to as a tribulation that's distinguished from what the Christians go through in the tribulation. You might say, I do not believe that. No, read your Bible. Look at Matthew 24. So Matthew 24 is the favorite passage for post-tribbers to claim that the church will go through the tribulation. But did they pay attention to what they're reading? Matthew 24. Look at verse 21. For then shall be great tribulation, right? During the time of the Antichrist. We know Matthew 24 is talking about the timeline of the Antichrist. Every post-tribber can agree with that. But keep reading here. For then not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. See, it recognizes there are different forms of tribulation that people went through before. But this tribulation is such a great tribulation that's distinguished from this. See that? But the most convincing, you know what the most convincing proof is Revelation 2 itself, what you're reading. Go to Revelation 2. This is the most convincing proof. This is referring to the Antichrist system. Oh, really? Then did they, I don't know if they were reading here. Read verse 10. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Before the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried. And ye shall have tribulation, how long? 10 days. So you think that's the Antichrist 666 system, you know. Goes 10 days long, you know. See, there's no doubt. There's a distinguishing right here.